Don't you just hate awkward silence? It makes us feel so uncomfortable. We hardly even know what to do with ourselves. Chances are, in the last few seconds, even as short as that was, many of you reached for a phone to distract you. You know, down through the centuries, philosophers and theologians alike have pointed to our discomfort with silence and stillness, and they see in that evidence that there is something amiss deeper within us. A guy by the name of Blaise Pascal, a French philosopher from the 1600s, said this: all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. And 400 years later, here we are still struggling with silence and with stillness. Of course, we've gotten better at the distraction part, right? I mean, we've gotten better at creating distractions from the stillness and the silence. In his book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, the author, Tyler Staton, describes how the smartphone has fueled our distraction addiction. In 2016, there was a study that was done that determined that we all touch our smartphones 2,617 times every day. I mean, it seems almost impossible, doesn't it? At that study, they discovered that on average, we look at our smartphones 2.5 hours daily. 3 years later, they repeated that same study and found that on average, our time looking at our phones went up to 5 hours a day. It just seems crazy, doesn't it? I saw that and I thought, no way. Well, you know, you have this little indicator on your phone what your screen time is. And I looked this morning. I thought, there's no way. And I want you to know that I didn't reach that average. Mine was only 4 hours and 58 minutes on average. Those little dopamine hits that we get from all of those likes and comments have become our favorite drug of choice. And even the slightest moment of idleness or stillness becomes an excuse to reach for yet another dopamine hit. A guy by the name of Richard Foster once wrote, "In contemporary society, our adversary," and note that that's capitalized, he's talking about Satan, he is our adversary, "our adversary majors in three things: noise and hurry and crowds." But here's the thing, he wrote that in 1978. How much more so even today? We are hurried and we are busy, distracted and overwhelmed and preoccupied. Those are the telltale signs of our times. But listen, we've been called to follow Jesus. And I know this about Jesus. Jesus was a man of prayer. And that means if I'm going to follow him, I am going to have to follow him into prayer. Is it any wonder that the Holy Spirit has spoken to us as a church and called us to come, go deeper? Now, last week, we began this series of going through the motions, learning the movement of prayer, being aware of how prayer works, and we discovered last week that, first of all, prayer is relationship. Jesus was just constantly connecting with his heavenly Father. And if we long to go deeper into a relationship with our God, we're going to have to show up and look up to the Father. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is presence. Just like any other relationship in your life, it's built upon your presence. That's true in your marriage. It's true in your parenting. It's true at work. And so last week we asked the question, where's your prayer place? Where is it that you're present? And when is your prayer time? When is the time that you're going to be present? Listen, I'm convinced that prayer is 99% just showing up. Just show up, but you have to show up. And that's why last week we covered those things. Now this week, we're going to begin a little bit of a shift. We're going to begin looking at some of the practical rhythms that we can develop in our prayer life. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be walking through and talking through 4 steps of prayer. And I want you to think of them as if these are dance steps, because it's a relationship, you and the Heavenly Father. And there are 4 dance steps of moving in sync through prayer with our Heavenly Father and following Jesus. And those 4 steps are these: pause, we're going to talk about that one today, and then rejoice, and then ask and yield. And it just so happens that the first letter of those words spells pray. So it becomes a tool that you can use to help you as you walk into developing your prayer. Now, the P stands for pause. So this is the first thing that I want you to get. Before you start, stop. Before you start, stop. Just pause. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And as you find that, let me just take a minute to introduce myself to you. If we've not yet met, my name's Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here. Would love the opportunity to meet you out in the commons. And listen, one of the things we ask everybody to do every week is to fill out that digital connect card. I want to encourage you to do that. Listen, that card is more than just, you know, some tool that we use that helps us know who is here. It is a vital tool of connecting. It is one of the tools that helps us maintain relationship and presence with each other. And so I want to encourage you to make sure you fill that out. Listen, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we are in an incredible season right now of God's blessing. Listen, so far in 2023, since the calendar turn, we've had 15 Sundays, over 1,000 people. That's everybody on campus. 7 of those weeks were in the top 25 attendance ever at our church. That's pretty incredible. Our attendance this year is up 11% over last year. It's been astounding. And listen, Vacation Bible School this past week, man, that was something else. It was the biggest VBS that we've ever had. Our highest attendance was 331 kids in one night. That doesn't even count the 150 workers that were here to kind of, you know, herd the cats, if you will, and keep up with them. It was incredible. We averaged 306. God is blessing us as a church. But let me ask you a question. How in the world do you keep up with that many people? That's what the Connect card is all about. It's a tool of relationship and connection. And so let me just say, if you haven't been filling that out, would you do it for me? Fill it out so that we can be connected with each other. But we came here today because we want to be connected with our Father. And that's why we need these words. And so I'm going to read Psalm 23 in just a word of personal privilege. I'm just old enough that I like to hear Psalms 23 read in the King James Version. You know, just like the Apostle Paul heard it read. So if you have a different translation, you just bear with me, because this is what I wanted to hear. And so you get to eavesdrop. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful word about relationship and about presence. So again, the first thing when it comes to prayer is pause. Before you start, stop. Stop. Do you realize that God never gets in a hurry? Never. Never has been in a hurry. So why is it that we are always in a hurry? The pause in prayer is a moment for us to prepare our hearts and our minds for coming into the presence of God Himself. And as we begin to pray, we need to shift our mindset. Prayer isn't talking at God. It is preparing ourselves to be with Him. It's not just talking at God, it is being with Him. And there's a huge difference. So if we really long to come and go deeper in our prayer as a church, the first thing we have to do is just put away those long laundry lists of prayer requests that we have, all those pressing demands. We have to step away from the urgency that we feel for that illusion of control that we're all seeking for. We have to be willing to wait on the words of life and course correction that God has for us, and we just have to wait in His presence. And I've just got to tell you, it's going to be agonizing until it isn't. It is going to be awkward until it isn't. So begin training yourself to wait anyway. Remind yourself that prayer begins in the pause. The Lord is my shepherd. My cup really does overflow. No weapon can harm me. I won't fear. I pause. Now listen, that's tough to do. And part of the reason it's so tough for us to do that is that we feel so overwhelmed and stressed in life. Studies show right now that 8 out of 10 of us, that's most of us, 8 out of 10 of us are regularly overstressed to the point of physical harm to our bodies. There's this little hormone called cortisol that pumps through the veins of your body that is a stress hormone that does damage to your body. And they can measure that. 8 out of 10 of us are living with that much stress all the time. In addition to that, 1 out of 3 of us experience anxiety disorder in our life. Think about that. 1 out of 3. That means if you look to your right, and then you look to your left, well, you can figure it out, right? And understand, if you're not the one who is experiencing the anxiety disorder, chances are you're the one causing the anxiety disorder. I thought I got more amens from that one, really. You missed your opportunity. So what do you do? That much stress, that much anxiety? Pause and wait. In fact, let me share with you a little checklist. You can kind of keep track on your fingers how many of these phrases describe you. There's 8 of them, so you kind of know where you stand. But does this sound like anybody you know? I am overstressed. I am too busy. I suffer from information overload. I am worried or frustrated. I am distracted. I am pulled into people pleasing. I feel disconnected from God. Too often, I'm in a hurry. Anybody get a perfect score? Listen, you need the pause. You need the pause. Because when we rest in His presence, He restores our soul. Listen, that is so much more than just poetic imagery. It is a promise. Pausing in God's presence is like medicine for your soul. So the very first step in prayer is simply this: do not rush at God. Rest in God. Do not rush at God. Just rest in God. You know, in the book of Psalms, there's this little word called Selah, S-E-L-A-H, Selah. Maybe you've seen that before. Now, the truth of the matter is we really don't know for sure what that word actually means. It is an untranslatable word, but it shows up in the book of Psalms 71 times. Many people suspect that Selah is actually like a musical notation. It means rest. It means breathe. It means reflect or just pause. Now, there's not one of those in Psalms 23, but if you drop your eyes down, had your Bibles open, Psalm 24, you can see it twice. Verse 6 at the end, there is that word, and then again at the end, verse 10. Psalms 26:4 in the New Living Translation says, people may seek you and worship in your presence, Selah, or in the NLT, it says, they've translated it as interlude, which it may mean that. It means, think about it. Let that wash over you. And let me tell you, the crazier and the more hectic, the more overwhelming life is for you, all the more when you pray, first stop and pause. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says this: there is a time to be quiet and a time to speak. So begin your praying, listening, not speaking. So just rest and stop. So when you pray, before you start, stop. When you stop, breathe. When you stop, breathe. Turn over just a couple of pages in the book of Psalms to Psalms 46. There's just one part of one verse that I want you to read and to hear. And it's Psalm verse 46, verse 10. And it begins this way. It says, be still and know that I am God. Do you see the pause? He says, be still. That's the first order of the day. Be still. That word still in the Latin is the same word as vacate. Think vacation. Anybody like to think about vacation? Whether you're on it or not, I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it? To be able to be on vacation. It's a place to unplug and relax and breathe. Prayer is like that. Prayer is a vacation for your soul. It is an opportunity for you to give yourself permission to vacate the throne of your heart and life and to let God be God for a while. to not feel like you're the one that has to be in control, fix everything, take care of everything. You vacate and you pause in His presence and trust Him. And when you do that, well, what are you supposed to do? Well, I would suggest to you that the thing that you do in prayer is the very thing that you were created to do from the very beginning of all time, and that is to breathe, to breathe. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." In the process of God breathing into Adam, he became a living person. Now, I think a lot of times we read that verse of Scripture or go back to that story in the Old Testament, and we think, well, isn't that a beautiful picture of the first breath? But then from that point on, we kind of think, you know, God got it started, but we've just kind of kept it going. Breathing has been on us for every breath since that first breath. We think of breathing as physical, not spiritual. But that's not what the Bible teaches us about your breathing. There's this connection of physical and spiritual. So, I want you to help me here. Let's all just take a deep breath, breathe in, and breathe out. You did that so well. Let's do it one more time. Breathe in and breathe out. Do you notice anything happening in your body when you do that? The Bible teaches there is this spiritual, physical interaction. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The book of Job, of all places, a man who was under incredible stress, the book of Job has a lot to say about breathing with God that harkens back to that first passage in Genesis 2. Job 27:3 says this, "As long as my breath is in me, the Spirit of God is in my nostrils." He's saying, as I'm breathing, God is in me. It's present tense. Every breath, he's saying. Job 33:4 says, "For the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." Again, notice it's present tense. The breath of God is giving me life, every breath. Job 34:14-15. "If God were to take back His Spirit and withdraw His breath, all life would cease and humanity would turn again to dust." Have you ever thought about the fact that every day we are dependent upon the breath of God, just as Adam was dependent upon that first breath of God on that first day? God is the one who breathes life into your nostrils with every single breath. Now think about the very first thing that Jesus did with His disciples after the resurrection. He met them in the upper room, and John 20:22 says, "Then He breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Just like that picture from Genesis. Listen, over the course of your life, you and I will breathe something like 670 million times on average. And every single one of those breaths is vital. Every breath can bring us into the presence of the Holy God who gave us life in the first place. So when you pray, you begin just breathing. Breathing in the presence of Jesus. There is something about breathing with intentionality and awareness that does something, not just physically, but spiritually. It relaxes the body. It reduces your stress, and it lifts your expectation to God Himself. So just how do you breathe prayer? Well, let me just give you one example. Psalm 46:10 has become a centering, breathing prayer that I use on constant repeat. It's a prayer that I repeat over and over again. For example, if I wake up at night and I'm thinking about things and I can't go back to sleep, Psalm 46:10 immediately comes to mind, and this is how I pray. This is how I breathe Psalms 46:10. First of all, I take a deep breath, and then as I breathe out, I just quote the psalm. Sometimes I do this out loud. Sometimes I do it quietly. Sometimes I just think it. But I take a breath. Be still and know that I am God. You mean the same God that created this world is with me? The same God who gave me life, who breathed the first breath of life into Adam, breathes into me? And then I'll take another breath, and I'll shorten the verse a little bit. So I take a breath. Be still and know that I am the same God who was in that burning bush and told Moses, I am that I am. The same God that was in Jesus who declared to the people, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. He's here with me. And then I take another breath and I shorten it. Be still and know. You know, if I really want to know God, I've got to get still in His presence. And then I take another breath and shorten it. And I just breathe in. Be still. And then one more time, I take a breath. Be. We spend so much of our life doing, doing, doing. And He says, just be. Just be. Now I know, breathing prayer like that may not feel like it's enough. I mean, is it really? Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. This week, my dear sweet mom turned 95 years old. 95. Listen, the last 5 years have been pretty tough on mom. It really has. Not that we haven't had a lot of good moments, we have, but it's been tough because, you see, my mother's brain is literally shrinking as her dementia grows, and what that means is that her world just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Most of her memories are now gone. We've gone past that day where we can sit and talk about the good old days. It's just not there. Now, when I visit her, many times she still calls me Kevin. Not always, but many times she still calls me Kevin. And even though she does, the truth of the matter is she doesn't really know who Kevin is. She just knows I belong with her. So she knows me in a way. And when I'm there, often she'll just urge me, sit beside her on the love seat. And what she wants is just to hold hands. There's not many words. There are no stories anymore. And a lot of time, honestly, it's just silent. Lots of smiles and glances. But let me tell you, for the world she's in, it's enough, because it is relationship and it is presence, and it is enough. It's not doing anymore. It is just being. So when you get ready to crawl up into your Heavenly Father's lap, let me ask you, do you come to Him because of all He can do for you? Or do you just come to Him because you want to be with Him. That's what breathing does for us. I come to the Father and I breathe in His presence with intentionality and awareness, and I know that He is with me and that I am with Him. And I just got to tell you, that's more than enough. It's more than enough. Psalm 131, verse 2 says this: I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child. I am content. So before you start, stop. When you stop, breathe. And then thirdly, as you breathe, think. Now, this isn't where we reach in and take out that big laundry list of prayer requests. We're going to get to that, I promise, but it's not going to be today. What I want you to think about is very specific and very deliberate when you're in the pause. And for that, we come back to the same prayer that we began with last week when Jesus taught the disciples to pray. This time, we find it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when Jesus said, "Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." So this is what we think about. Prayer begins in thinking about God. Not thinking about me, not thinking about all the needs I have in my life, not thinking even about the words that I'm going to say. It begins with God. In fact, I would like to put it to you this way. When Jesus said, "This is how you ought to pray, our Father," those two words ought to stop us in our tracks as we think about who we're talking to. Our Father. It ought to knock us to our knees in wonder of who He is. He's the one who created this world. He's the one who created us. He's the one who gives us life. He's the one who has given us new life. And so we stop and breathe and we think about Him. Psalms 39, 4 and 5 says this: "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is but a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath." Interlude, Selah. Think about it. It's true, is it not? My life is a breath. It is just a breath that was given to me from God. But let me just tell you, what an incredible gift is that breath, that short life that God breathed into us. What an incredible gift He has breathed into our bodies. So listen, I'm going to invite our band to come back, and we're going to go through a prayer exercise that I want you to do on your own. And I want you to take a moment to just seriously think about our God. I want you to take a moment and think of all our God has done. Think about what He has done for you personally. Think about your life and how your life has been blessed by God. Think about the difference that God has already made in your life. In fact, let me encourage you to do this. Take those teaching notes that you have, flip it over. There's a blank page on the back. And what I want you to do is you reflect and think about God. I want you to answer specifically these three questions, and we're going to leave them up for you, because I want you to begin just as quick as you can to make as extensive a list as you can, thinking about our Heavenly Father. And I want you to answer the question, who is our Father? What do you already know about Him? Who is He? What has our Father done for you? And you just keep writing that down. What difference has our Father made in you? And then as you look at that list, take a moment and take a breath and think about the one to whom you pray. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, "Our Father." So let's just take a moment and think upon Him. And that will get us ready for the next step in the dance of prayer. So you can assume a prayer posture if that helps you. Head bowed, eyes closed, just kind of centering, focusing. Remember to breathe. Be aware of God's presence, and you begin to write down your answer. Who is our Father? What has our Father already done in your life? Begin to think about the blessings that you have, the way He's already gifted you in so many ways. What difference has our Father made for you? Another way to put that is, where would your life be without Him? Think on Him. And in just a moment, we will pray. So when you pray, before you start, stop. When you stop, breathe. As you breathe, think. Let's pray. Eternal Father, the one who gave us life and breathes into our nostrils the breath of life even to this very day, we pause in your presence. We long for you to get the first word in prayer. We long to be present and in relationship. And so we lean in and breathe in your Spirit to hear from you. But even before that, we just turn our eyes to you to gaze upon you in wonder, to see your beauty, to know your love, and to answer your call to come, go deeper. We pray this in Jesus' name.